Kate McGlynn, and you are listening to KBOO, the cheerful voice of social conscience, KBOO, Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Waterfront Blues Festival Upriver 2021 from Thursday, July 1st through Monday, July 5th at the lot at Sedale Yards in Portland. The 34th annual Waterfront Blues Festival is back on the waterfront this year with performances from Samantha Fish, Mark Burchard, March 4th, Ghost Note, and many, many more. Those tuning in from home can catch the show here on KBOO from noon to 4 p.m. July 2nd through the 5th, as well as a benefit pre-show featuring Curtis Salgado on Thursday, July 1st at 7 p.m. The Waterfront Blues Festival will also be live streaming the evening performances from 6 to 10 p.m. July 2nd through the 5th. Again, that's the Waterfront Blues Festival Upriver 2021 from Thursday, July 1st through Monday, July 5th at the lot at Sedale Yards, 3030 South Moody Avenue in Portland. More information about the festival, including ticket information, artist lineups, and ways to tune in, can be found at kboo.fm/WBF2021.
Center of Portland and this station. Today, we have a very special program for you. A lecture from Imam Suhaib Webb entitled The Love of the Prophet.
We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We beseech Him to send His peace and blessings upon the beloved of Allah, Sayyid al-Awwalin wal-Akhirin, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all of the prophets who came before him. As he mentioned the Prophet in a beautiful hadith, that all of the prophets are brothers, wa dinuhum wahid, and their religion is one. We ask him also to send his security and his tranquility upon the followers of the prophets, khususan the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, He mentions something very profound, something very beautiful. He said, لَقَدَ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. In the third chapter of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, مَنَّ اللَّهُ. مَنَّ actually means to go beyond what's normal, to give someone more than what is needed. What's from, we say, fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to give someone more than they deserve, and to do it with excellence. Allah is al-muhsin subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who does things in the best way. So Allah says, لَقَدْ أَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He favored and blessed the believers, إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ, when He sent them a messenger. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. So this verse, as well as numerous other verses, allude to the fact that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam is a blessing for this community, is a rahmah for this community, is a great, great means of our sharaf, our honor. And in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, numerous occasions, shows us the greatness of the Prophet, as well as in hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wa sahbihi wasallam, such that ulama, great scholars of hadith like Al-Bayhaqi and Khasa'is al-Kubra, he wrote a book about this, Imam Suyuti, radiallahu anhu, also wrote Khasa'is al-Sughra, talking about the greatness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Imam Izzuddin Abdus Salam, he wrote a book, Tafdil al-Rasul, you know, the blessings and superiority of al-Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wasallam. And that's very important, because when we actualize the great maqam of our beloved messenger, then we as an ummah will aspire to greatness. The other day I was sitting with a young Muslim, very talented young Muslim in Los Angeles, and he did the typical Muslim thing, right? He was talking about the large number of followers Allah has blessed him to amass on social media, and then he said, you know, I'm really sorry, I apologize, you know, I'm not trying to be arrogant, but I have this many followers. And I said to him, do you say Allahu Akbar or Allahu Asghar? Do you say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not the greatest? Wa na'udhu billah. And he said, no, I say Akbar. I said, if you believe your Lord is Akbar, then your goals and ambitions should be limitless. Because Allah ma'ak, huwa ma'akum aynama kuntum. Allah is with you wherever you are. Also, if we believe that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam is our prophet, our messenger, لَقَدَ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا, then we should not limit our ambitions and goals and dreams for the future. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you ask for paradise, ask for Firdaus al-A'la, ask for the highest level. He said, ask for the lowest level, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's one of the wisdoms in this dua, this supplication that we make after every adhan, وَبَعَثُ مَقَامًا مَحْمُودًا, that we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most honorable station, to remind us also individually and collectively that our objective should be those that take us to that high station with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. And that's why one of the sahabi, he came to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah, when I'm with you, I feel my iman is so high. But when I go home and I spend time, you know, with my family and taking care of certain errands, I feel that my iman goes low. And then he said, then I started thinking about the fact that when you pass away, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will be in maqam mahmood, you will be at the highest station of Jannah. And me, he said, if I'm lucky enough, if I get into Jannah, I'm assuming I won't be with you. I wrote a poem about this in Al-Azhar, Jannati bidunik naru. You know, it begins in this first bahr in Rajas. I said in the poem, my heaven without you is hell. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the Prophet said to me, Al-maru ma'a man ahab, you'll be with who you love. So by our love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in our connection to Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in our implementation of the teachings of Al-Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma yantiqu anil hawa, we can reach, inshaAllah, these high stations bi fadlillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Sayyidina Anas ibn Malik, the great servant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to say, out of everything in Islam, the most beloved thing to me is the statement of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, al-mar'u ma'a man ahab, the person will be with who he loves or who she loves. He said, because uhibbu Muhammadan wa uhibbu Abu Bakr wa uhibbu Umar wa uhibbu Uthman wa uhibbu Ali. He said, I love all these great people, wal mar'u ma'a man ahab, and you will be with who you love. So he said, I hope by my love of these people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring us together. That's why they said about the verse, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَاتَّبَعَتْهُمْ ذُرِّيَّتُهُمْ بِإِيمَانٍ أَلْحَقَنَا بِهِمْ, that those parents who left righteous children in Surah Tur, we will bring them together عَلَى مَحَبَّةِ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. What will bring them together is their love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the love of Sayyidina wa Habibina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. If we look at the Quran and Hadith, we find a few beautiful, beautiful examples of how we can inculcate the love of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Allah said, tu'adhimu, you should magnify the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You should have respect for him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where he said, ana sayyid walid ma adam wala fakhr. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am the best of creation. He said this to a number of companions, a great scholar, Qadi Iyad Maliki. In his explanation of Sahih Muslim, he said, you know, how can someone say that? You know, he posed this question. He says, you know, how could someone just like say I'm the best? You know, if you went back to your job and someone said I'm the best engineer ever, you know, what's wrong with this person? Too much coffee. Something's wrong with him. How can he talk like this? How could she talk like this? I'm the best lawyer ever. You know, I put Olivia Pope to shame. They say, well, what's wrong with you? But the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ana Sayyid Walid ibn Adam. I am the master, I'm the best of humanity." Al-Iyad, he said, you know, it's unlike the Prophet ﷺ to talk this way. So Rasul ﷺ, usually his words are full of etiquette, full of adab. "Ana afsahul arab wal ajab," he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "I'm the most, you know, I'm the most fasih, articulate of people," he said about himself. He said, but here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has to say this. He has to say to his companions, and he has to say to his ummah, that the person you follow, the one you follow, has absolute swagger. No one is close to him. No one can touch him. And he said, "Hada kan wajib ala Rasulillah." It was part of the obligations of the Prophet, because we believe kitman is haram ala al-anbiya, that the prophets will never hide anything from people. So the Prophet has to say he is the best of humanity, because this is part of his role as a messenger of Allah. When Allah said, "Ya ayyuha ar-rusul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik, fa in lam taf'al fama ballaghta risalatihi in qira'a." So Allah said to him, "You have to relate what's been ordered of you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sahbihi wa sallam." And that's why at the end of the hadith he says, "Wala fakhr," I'm not boasting, sallallahu alaihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Number two is his selflessness. And what we should learn from number one is, as a community, we should have izzah. You know, who do we follow? You see, whenever a great sports figure moves to a new city, like LeBron or whoever, you find that city, they have izzah. You know, they become proud and boastful. So here recently, you see the Golden State Warriors, people are proud and boastful, Steph Curry. You know, because these are people who set incredible examples in their field. If that's the case of sports, which is going to pass, right? Their legs are going to get tired, they're going to become old, no matter how great they are, and they will retire. What do we say about Al-Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? When he enters a community, when he enters the hearts of people, this should be a means of izzah. But this is permanent izzah, because the greatness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mahfuzha hatta taqum as-sa'ah, until the end of time. So we should have this, you know, great sense of izzah and pride in being from the atba' of Sayyid wa Habibina Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second is his selflessness. The Prophet sallallahu was concerned about people. You know, he loved us so much, and he was so concerned about others, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Wa'lamu anna fikum Rasulallah." You know, this is majaz. Those of you in Arabic, mashallah, I know this community, we have a lot of people who are very strong in Arabic, mashallah. That if you interpret this verse literally, it makes no sense. وَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ فِيكُمْ يَعْنِي ذَرْفِيَّةً. That if you say, indeed the messenger of Allah is in you, it literally means he's in you, he's inside you. But the Prophet ﷺ is not عِنْدَنَا هُوَ فِينَا. He's not with us, he's in us. So one of our teachers, he said, because the Prophet Muhammad is so invested in human beings, and he has such a concern and love for people, that as though he's actually literally in them, that's how much he's concerned about them, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. An-nabiyu awla bil mu'minina min anfusihim wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum. Allah said, the Prophet is closer to you than you are to yourself, because he's invested, he cares about people, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once the messenger of Allah, and there's something simple we can do, we can ask about each other. We can be concerned about each other. MashaAllah, since I moved away from this community, like every week or two, someone will call me from this community. "Hey, how are you? How's it going? How's life? I'm making dua for you." MashaAllah. This is the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. وَهَكَتَ تَكُنْ فِيَّ. And that's how you'll be like in me. Once the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in an authentic hadith, he saw a man and his son. And this son, he grew in the masjid, you know? And the messenger of Allah used to like tease his son and play with his son and engage his son and make him smile, sallallahu alayhi wa. He didn't tell him to leave the masjid. And then after some time, he noticed the man disappeared, and then he noticed the man, he came back without his son. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, he asked him, you know, what happened to his son? He didn't ask the man directly. See the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He asked people, and they said, you know, his son, he died. So the Prophet ﷺ, he called him, the man, over, and the Prophet was moved. The loss of a child is one of the most difficult things. It's hard to bear your parents, it's harder to bear your children. So the Prophet ﷺ, he said to him, know that your son is going to be waiting for you at the gates of Jannah. He will refuse to enter until you come and your wife comes. And this hadith is sahih. Look at the Prophet ﷺ, how he cares about people. Once a woman in Sahih al-Bukhari, also in the Muwatta, Sulaim, the mother of Anas ibn Malik, she came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front of everybody, and she asked a question which our community will not allow to be asked today. Subhanallah. She asked a question in front of Al-Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wama ankara alayha, and he did not refute her, which honestly our communities probably couldn't handle today. She asked him a question, and she asked him directly, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he knew his answer, maybe it will embarrass her. So Imam Ibn Ashur al-Tunisi, the great sheikh, he said that the Prophet answers her in the third person. He doesn't say you to her. He says, that woman, if this happens to her, then she should do this. Instead of you, Salim, if this happens to you, do this. Imam Ibn Ashur said, look at the care of the Prophet in answering questions to people. He doesn't want to embarrass her. And he knows her circumstances, that she was a single woman. She's probably trying to get married. If he were to embarrass her like this in front of people, it will be difficult for her to get married. Here we see how the Prophet ﷺ is invested in people's lives. Fikum Rasulullah. The selflessness of the Prophet. Such, as we finish this part of the khutbah, that the Prophet ﷺ said in a long hadith that every prophet was given a supplication, and they took advantage of that supplication. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave every prophet a supplication. If they ask, Allah will give them. Like Sayyidina Sulaiman, he asked for a kingdom. In the Quran, the likes Solomon, of which no one saw before. Sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. But the Prophet said, I am saving my supplication. I'm saving it for my community, for you. He saved it for you. So the shafa'atul kubra, when I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive my ummah, when I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter my ummah in Jannah, this is his selflessness. Sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam. On the night of Isra wal Mi'raj, sometimes, you know, we get blinded by success. Ibn Taymiyyah said, nothing tests a person like success, not failure. In times of failure, it's easy to create iftiqar to Allah. In times of failure, it's easy to feel I need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in times of success, that's more difficult. And that's why the ulama, they said, if you want to be successful, then be successful like Sayyidina Yusuf. In the bottom of a well, he has no choice but to feel the need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when he becomes successful, he feels more in need of Allah. That's why the scholars said, we're jealous of Umar bin Abdul Aziz. When he was weak and poor, he relied on Allah. But when he became a king and the Khalifa, he relied on Allah more. The second, it's more of an opportunity to lose himself. The Prophet ﷺ, on the night of Isra wal Mi'raj, he reaches Sidratul Muntaha, the farthest point with Sayyidina Jibreel. They arrive there, and the Prophet turns to Jibreel and says, Taqaddam ya Jibreel. Subhanallah, adab. His success, oh, I have this new 7 series, oh, I have this mountain block pin, oh, I got this new job, I went to this school. It doesn't blind him. He doesn't forget his etiquettes. They reach that point, and the Prophet turns to Sayyidina Jibreel and says, you go first. Sayyidina Jibreel, he was like, la bal taqaddam ya Muhammad, no, you have to go. And in fact, he said to him, no one can go there but you. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enters that situation, and he speaks to his Lord, he says, attahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. And then Allah answers him, assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This tashahud that we make, as related by Samarqandi, is from this historical moment. That when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the night of Isra, said to Allah, attahiyyatu lillahi wa salawatu wa tayyibat. And notice he didn't say, attahiyyatu lak. He said, attahiyyatu lillah. Even though he was speaking directly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he addresses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the third person out of adab and etiquette with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, attahiyyat to you. All good deeds and all things are for you. Then Allah answered, assalamu alayka, peace be upon you, O Messenger of Allah. One of the teachers I was reading with in Egypt, now he's in jail. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala free him. Great scholar of hadith in Bukhari. He said to me, you know, Huna, at this point, the Prophet doesn't have to say anything. Like, you got the salam from Allah, you're good. It's all good, I'm out. But he said the Prophet ﷺ, Zada ala hada. The Prophet increased, he added to it. And he said, As-salamu alayna. He didn't forget his ummah. He didn't forget you. So his selflessness is not blotted by professionalism. He remembers his community. At that moment, As-salamu alayna bidun al-'atf. If you understand Arabic, he did it immediately without a conjunction. It's like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, and the Prophet said, and on us. He interjected it quickly because of his love for his community. Sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. His investment is not blinded by professional success. What's a quick lesson we can take from that? How do we treat our spouses? Are we still the same after we've got that raise? How do we act with our friends after we've had some success? How do we interact with others? Do we still feel we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَجْمَعَنَا مَا حَبِيبِنَا كَمَا أَمَنَّا بِهِ وَلَمْ نَرَاهُ صلى الله عليه وسلم أقول قولي هذا أستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد ومن والاه اللهم صل وبارك وسلم عليه في الأولين وفي الآخرين وفي الملأ الأعلى يا رب العالمين. In being lovers of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, you know the word hab is from the same word as a seed, to love. And love has roots, it has branches, and it has fruits. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described the fruit of this ummah when he said that in min kulli khalafin uduluhu, that in every generation you'll find the vital center. Every succeeding generation of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions, you'll find the vital center. And he said the vital center is defined as the following in this hadith, which is a good hadith. The Prophet said, number one, they will refute the irrational notions of the extremists. He said this. This is the meaning of it. Tahrif. They will refute the irrational notions of the extremists. Secondly, they will refute the irresponsibility of the hyper-liberal. This is the language we can understand it now. Those who are hyper-laxed. So the udul, the vital center, sits between those who are irrationally conservative and irresponsibly liberal. And then he said, and they will correct the ta'wil of the jahileen. They will correct the interpretations of the ignorant. These days are hard days for us as a community. When you see what's happened in Nigeria, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the people of Nigeria. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen them. This is a country that has an incredible history of scholarship in the Arabic language, subhanallah. And what we've seen in France, you may find yourself confused. A brother called me last week, he's an IT guy. He said, my coworkers don't speak to me. Like today, they're not talking to me. So what I would like to encourage you is the following. Number one, every narration of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, where he ordered someone to be killed, which you find now some of these folks online saying, you know, out of the greatness of the Messenger of Allah, they were ordered to be killed. Our scholars say very clearly that these people were killed because of strategy, because of military activities. They were trying to harm the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or harm his community. They were violating the rights of society. The second is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sahbihi wa sallam, how many companions, and we all have learned these stories since we were children, were enemies of the Messenger of Allah. Clear avowed enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like Abu Sufyan, for example, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ikrama, the son of Abi Jahl, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nothing happened to them. In fact, they were forgiven, and ultimately they became followers of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the majority are those, mashallah ta'ala, who were never harmed. The minority, less than 2% of the people who followed the Messenger of Allah, out of 160,000 Sahabi, some said only 30,000 Sahabi. A minority of people who lived around them were harmed, and that's why the scholars say it was because of the illal. The reasoning was harb, was war, not out of insulting the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third point is, if we really want to defend the honor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should live prophetic lives. We should start with our homes. We should live prophetic lives. Secondly, we should live a prophetic example. Alama Iqbal, as I finished, he said something very profound. He said that if the Muslims were to live according to the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in moderation, As Al-Maqdisi said, every good character that the Prophet talked about and every bad character that the Prophet talked about is in moderation. Sometimes love is good, sometimes love is bad. Sometimes generosity is good, sometimes generosity is bad. We're not talking about making some kind of extreme U-turn and changing everything. We're talking about moderation, the vital center. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima katira, he mentioned very clearly and very profoundly that as we live his life, there's barakah. So Iqbal, he said, if we live the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the only thing that people can say around us when they see us is fabi ayya ala'i rabbikuma tukadiban. The only thing that someone can say when they see someone living that type of life is, which of the favors of your Lord will you deny? The Prophet brought peace. People came to him and said, they named their children Harb. He said, no, change your name to Hassan, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, someone came to him and said, I name my son War. He said, no, name him Peace. This is our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet sought security, taught security in the face of insecurity, love in the face of hatred, justice in the face of oppression. This is our mission as a community. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect our brothers and sisters in France. We ask Allah to bless the people of France. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless and protect the Muslims in Nigeria. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them from this fitan. And may Allah protect the ummah from the fitan of the munharifin. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to unite us with our beloved messenger as we believe in him and we have not seen him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless our parents who have died. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive them. يُوَسِعْ قُبُورَهُمْ وَيُنَوِّرْ قُبُورَهُمْ. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to broaden their graves and illuminate their hereafters. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take our hearts and turn them back to Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take our hearts which are turned to his disobedience and turn them to his obedience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause us to love him more than we love those things which take us away from him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us qurbah. May Allah grant us nearness to him and protect us from being far from him. We ask Allah to bless our families, our wives, our children, our husbands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our homes from divorce. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and yu'allif bayna qulubikum. May Allah unite your hearts together as one. May Allah bring children back to their parents who have gone astray, and parents back to their children who have treated them badly. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the capacity to forgive others. We ask Allah to bless our new Muslim brothers and sisters. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your friends and your family. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you to feel a sense of belonging and remove a sense of loneliness. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our children masters of the book of Allah, masters of the sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدِ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابُ. سُبْحَانَ رَبِّكَ رَبِّ الْعِزَّةِ عَمَّا يَصِفُونَ وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
Listening to an Islamic point of view here on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Our lecture today, entitled The Love of the Prophet, was by Imam Zuhay Abuweb. You can listen to Islamic point of view each week here on KBOO Sundays at 8 a.m. Support this program by going to mccpdx.org and kboo.fm. And please follow the Muslim Community Center of Portland on Facebook at facebook.com/Muslim Community Center of Portland. For weekly videos.
on 90.7 FM, K282 BH Philomath on 104.3 FM, and K220 HR Hood River on 91.9 FM.
Hello and welcome to Pathways, where you are invited to join me for a visit with leaders in personal development and cultural evolution. This is your host, Paul O'Brien. For years, sensitive personality types have lived with the fear of being perceived as a little bit crazy. As a result, they've been hiding their gifts, withdrawing from the world, or just shutting down emotionally to avoid judgment by others, anticipation of pain, or sensory overwhelm. If you are feeling marginalized or anxious, out of sync with the mainstream world, overwhelmed by outside stimulation, or that your gifts are undervalued by society and your peers, then the book we discuss today may help.